WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree, and this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are just...
And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell...
Ow!
What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. You're on Twitch and you have to have a Prime Gaming sub available. Well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button on the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And yes, I know this is not a Thursday night, but as we told you on Thursday night, we are here to talk all about SummerSlam, which is in the process of concluding. We're in the post-show right now. But joining me to help me talk all about this show is the producer slash co-host slash handyman Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. It's not CB Radio. That would be in 20 minutes, but that's not on tonight because we're here. We're live. By the way, did you know if you subscribe to the channel the regular way, as Lindsay puts it, you get 3 months free of Apple TV for the next 2 weeks if you subscribe the regular way?
I mean, that's a pretty good deal.
That's the bonus on that. Tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rock Radio Show, and Liz, we're coming to WildTalkRadio.com, RockRadioShow.com, or Twitch.tv/WTLive to interact with us live, because we'll talk about things you talk about, like how the Dirt Sheets are wrong, and The Rock is done filming things when he has other live-action movies to film.
He's a busy guy.
He's busy.
A busy, busy, busy guy. I missed that. I've been off Twitter most of today.
No, like, it was like a few days ago it came out, like, The Rock was done filming a movie. It's like, yeah, he's done filming a movie.
And he has another one.
And then, but if you listen to him when he last spoke to the people, he mentioned multiple projects. We're going from one to the other to the other. Will he have a week or two to show up on TV if he wanted to? Yeah, but you don't bring back what you did tonight and then go, here's Dwayne. You wait for Dwayne. Dwayne comes with Netflix. That's when we see Dwayne again. that way he can curse and not get bleeped. That's where The Rock will shine, is on Netflix.
True. Very, very, very true.
Anyway, let's talk about SummerSlam in front of 57,000 strong in Cleveland. We had a concert to open the show. And all the things, which was, like, that was the right way to do it. Like, usually they use music to do the video package. They did a live concert and mixed in the videos. That was the right way to handle it. So I'm proud of how they handled that. But we kicked off strong. It was Rhea Ripley, Liv Morgan for the Women's World Championship.
I liked Rhea's gear.
Rhea had good gear. Liv had good gear. They played cat and mouse for a good part of it.
They chased each other around. They chased each other around the ring a little bit.
They did.
And they told a really great story with Rhea's shoulder.
Yes. Her gear did break. The chains did come off a little bit.
It went flying everywhere.
The coolest part of the match for Rhea, because they're playing up the story where her shoulder dislocated, in quotations, and she rams it into the announce table to kind of knock it back in the place.
Liv's sell of this was really good, because she's like, oh, I got her, her shoulder's messed up, I've got her, this is gonna be an easy win. And then, like, Rhea puts her shoulder, quote unquote, back in place, and Liv was like, oh no, I have messed up in a big way.
Yeah.
And then Rhea just went for Liv.
She did. Going back to the cat and mouse for a minute, when she, like, she got frustrated and tired, she then rolled back. Rhea faked it rolling out, and then the face Liv made was like, oh, hi, can we be friends? Kind of, maybe. And then when she popped her shoulder back in, they panned back to Liv, and she went either fuck or shit.
I think both. I think it might have been both.
No, I think it was just all part of the story of the match. Yeah, it was all storyline.
Yeah, but it was a really good sell.
Yeah, they played up to, and then she did it in the turnbuckle a couple times to do it. But the biggest part of it, clear intentions and all, from one Dominic Mysterio.
I mean, we saw this coming. Although, I threw it in the chat. I was like, you know what would be really funny? Is if you have Liv and Rhea turn on Dominic and they just leave together. They're like, yeah, Neither one of us want you. Go away. And they just go off into the sunset. I would have found that hilarious. They didn't, though. They didn't do it.
So Liv got a chair. And Dom, Rhea's about to smack Liv with the chair, and Dom pulls it, going like, hey, you can't win the title with the chair. And so it was like, Rhea's like, okay, fine. And then she hit something with it, I think it was Oblivion, and then she kicked out, and it's like, okay, or Rhea hit something. Rhea hit the move, and Liv kicked out. So then the chair's still in play. Dom has the chair. He slides it back into the ring. And he kind of pushes it right towards Liv. And I was like, yep, here it comes. Then we get the Oblivion on the chair for the 1, 2, 3, and new.
The setup on this was really good. The story that they told, everything about this was really, really, and I mean really well executed. They did a great job. Even though I think we were all anticipating this happening, they didn't necessarily telegraph it very, very hard. Like, they weren't overt with it. It was very subtle how they did it. You had Dom, like, when you had Dom grab the chair and he's telling Rhea, don't do it. You're going to cost yourself your match. Don't do it. Right? That's what he did. It's not he's trying to save Liv. It's no. This is a regular match. If you hit her with a chair in front of the referee, you're going to get disqualified.
Yeah. So afterwards. Okay, continue.
So that was a really great way of taking the chair momentarily out of play and keeping, and Rhea was kind of like, what, huh? Like, she wasn't sure about it, and she was like, well, yeah, I guess you're right, and she was kind of a little pissed, but she was like, the way that Rhea sold it was really good, because she was like, wait, there's something up here. This is sus that he's stopping me.
Yeah.
And then when he slid the chair in, it was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, and then afterwards, he helps Liv up, and everyone's like, oh. And he grabs her, gives her the kiss, and everyone's like, oh, shit.
Rhea had murder in her eyes. That's all I'm going to say. Rhea looked ready to kill a bitch.
Yes, she did.
Like, they're
there are going to be consequences to this. And I would like to remind Dominic Mysterio, not that he necessarily needs reminding from someone like me. But honey, she can take you in a fight. You better run. I don't know where you're going to run because she'll likely find you, but you better run because you in for it now.
Dom's in trouble.
He's in serious trouble and your daddy can't save you.
So,
like, okay, hold on before we move on. That would be like the most hilarious part of this. Like, Dom screws up so hard that he goes back to his dad and Ray's like, what, you think I'm going to protect you from her? You think I'm going to help you after everything you did?
Yeah.
Thor, you, now, don't let it hit you in the butt on the way out. Like, that would just be sweet justice right there.
It would be. So, right afterwards, they're backstage in the clubhouse. And Damien is furious. He storms into the clubhouse. Where is he? Where is he? Like, they don't know. They don't know where he is. They can't find him. And then Damien's so pissed. He goes, is this you, Finn? Is this your doing? He's
ooh.
Like, I had nothing to do. I don't know. I had no idea this was happening. Uh-huh. Uh-huh, Finn.
Nice.
And full of lies.
Nice. He lies.
He is such full of, you know what? And we'll talk about that in a little while. But yeah, this came out the way it needed to. They played the story right from beginning to end. They told the right story with these two.
Oh, absolutely. This was extremely well done.
It really was. And props to them for telling it. Whether you had a problem with this, how some of the story played from beginning to end, we got to the conclusion that everyone knew was coming. They didn't, you know, oh, we all know it's coming in this way, and they didn't re-swerve you. It's like, no.
No. Everything in this made sense.
You finish and you play it out. That's what they did.
It's very good, strong storytelling. You know my reasons for why I didn't care for this. You and I have talked about this privately. There were good aspects. There were not so good aspects. But I think the conclusion, what matters is that the beginning and the end are satisfactory, or at least at the very least, the ending is satisfactory and you get what you want out of it. And even though we're kind of in the middle of it and we haven't reached the full conclusion, what we got tonight was extremely satisfying. Because it's like, yes, this is what everybody wanted. They gave it to us. They didn't try to, like, dance around it. They didn't try to be cute. They didn't try to, like, re-swerve you, like you said. They just gave it to you straight up.
Yeah, and that's exactly how good storytelling should be. It's like, you know it's coming, but at the same point, like, they tell the story. So there we go. So you deemed the next match what?
Braun Breaker Smash.
Because that's what we got when the Intercontinental title was on the line. Sami Zayn and Braun Breaker.
Sammy just got squished. Not in the sense of a squash match, but he just got squished. Like, Braun just rolled in there like a goddamn freight train and just ran him over. Like, that's the only way I can describe this. And I'm okay with it. I love Sammy, don't get me wrong, but I am okay with this performance. I am okay with Braun being entirely dominant because you know what? He should have been. I think we talked about it on Thursday where a lot of people, including us, were disappointed at Money in the Bank that they didn't pull the trigger on Braun. It's like, well, they're waiting for SummerSlam. They have to be. And I think we said it on Thursday that it's like, he has to put in a performance. He has to show up. You basically have to have him do exactly what he did. Like, if you're going to make him, you need to make him. And that's exactly what they did. And it was perfect.
Yeah. It was the match that needed to happen. If you're going to ascend Braun Breaker into the next level, sometimes you have to have the underdog get sacrificed. And that's what happened. Sami Zayn was the underdog. Even though he was a champion and he beat him once, he had to be destroyed. And that tonight made Braun Breaker. Would it have been better at Money in the Bank? Yes. But they did the job they needed to do. They elevated Braun Breaker to a point where now, okay, now we can take him full on serious. He did the big old spear at the end.
Oh God, him running the ropes is so scary.
It really
is. The most terrifying thing.
And Sami Zayn sold it, ate it. He did his job. Sami was the perfect guy to beat Gunther for the Intercontinental title. Braun Breaker was the perfect guy to beat Sami Zayn for the Intercontinental title. It was perfectly booked and executed tonight. Money in the Bank, I wasn't the most biggest fan of it, but tonight I was. And
yeah.
So what needs to happen? He needs to go on a run like this, where he's destroying people like this to keep it up.
Yeah, you just kind of have him run through the division a little bit,
and that's
and
fine.
You make him an incredibly dominant champion.
Yeah. So yeah, he needs to kind of be dominant for a while. He doesn't have to have the long dominance, but when he's in the ring, let him break people. as it were. So yeah, new Intercontinental Champion is Bron Breakker. Well deserved.
Very well deserved. Well earned. Good job, Bron. Keep it up.
And then I believe the next match was the U.S. title. Logan Paul, L.A. Knight. Yeah.
Yeah. With Machine Gun Kelly walking Logan Paul to the ring.
That was interesting. More on him in a bit. And then there was the L.A. Knight's entrance where he had the Prime Mobile from last night and destroyed the windows with a pole.
Okay, this is where I have to criticize. This man does not know how to destroy a car.
No.
Because you never go for the side windows, and you'd never do all four. You go for the windshield, and you go for the rear, and you do three of the tires. Not that I would know anything about that. I'm just saying, you know, for what's covered by insurance.
Yeah. So, and then these two had a pretty good match, I would say.
Personal feelings for Logan Paul aside, because I do not care for him personally. He showed up, he delivered, he did his job. There were a couple awkward moments in this match. They didn't quite click. I think Logan was just a tad rusty, or he was trying to do stuff that was maybe just a touch out of his league.
Which happens. I'm not sure which.
Because LA Knight was in all the right places at all the right times. It's just there were a couple execution issues in terms of moves that were a problem. But overall, the match was good. It was a very high-paced back-and-forth match. There were a lot of, you know, clip moments, which you expect from a Logan Paul match, because they're going to clip all that stuff and put it out on social.
Yeah.
Because impressions.
What's his name again? I like that they started before the match and had a little bit of a brawl first, which was good.
Yeah. They didn't even get their vests off.
And they were fighting on the outside of the ring. The superplex, though. Ooh.
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 Yeah, that was a near thing. That was a very near miss. Happy to hear that everybody is okay out of that, because Logan Paul did not take that well.
No, I mean, he took it well. It just...
it didn't look good.
You thought he would look better on replay than in first sight.
Yeah, the way that they shot it made it look really bad, and then they showed the overhead shot of it, and it was like, oh, okay, that looks a little bit better. But when he initially took it and you saw it, you're like, ooh, that was nasty. Oh my, somebody check on him. But yeah, this was good. There was a lot of back and forth. There's a lot of storytelling. You had LA Knight go after Logan Paul's boys that he had in the front row. He just pulled them out of the crowd and started beating them up at one point.
They're very happy announcing was for that to happen.
And then you had Machine Gun Kelly get involved, where he pulled out the not so obvious brass knucks, and, you know, because they were on a chain, because that wasn't, you know, hey, I have something on my hand telling. Logan Paul thought, hey, I'm going to get away with a fast one and just hit LA Knight with them. And well, that didn't work out for him. LA Knight's on the team. He's on the post show right now. That's why he's like, LA, no, wrong one. But in the end, WWE does right by LA Knight. They put him over, and he is your brand new U.S. champion.
Yeah, which was the right move. We all saw it coming. This will allow them to keep Logan Paul fresh and bring him back probably in the fall.
Yeah.
In the winter. Kind of let him cool off a little bit. Because, say what you want. He won, the title at the Rumble or something, I think. Around there. Earlier in, had two title offenses. Then you watch all the graphics tonight. The other champions had, Damian had four since WrestleMania. So it wasn't like the big discrepancy and whatever between like Logan and the world champions. In terms of amount of title defenses, they had two more in a month or two shorter span. It's not the worst thing. And he's been around a lot more than I thought he was going to be when he won it.
Yeah.
So he was involved in the product. I let him cool off a little bit. I let him figure out where they put him. He's another one where I think he's a free agent technically in terms of brands. He's one you put on Netflix too, I think, because I think his act will work better there too. We're going to see that a lot,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, you kind of wait until the end of the year, and then maybe you bring him back, and then you have him do what he's going to do.
Yeah, so that's how I would do it. Unless he wants to stick around and continue to work, which is fine. But I would cool him off for a couple months and sort of get a big match ready for him. unless he's going to compete at Bash in Berlin, because the one thing Brent mentioned, and we'll talk more about it, let him talk about more tomorrow, was the foot could have been underneath the rope.
It was there. Logan Paul snuck his foot under the rope, so he could easily walk out.
It was close. It wasn't all the way under. It was close to the rope.
From the perspective I saw, it looked like it was under the rope. So it's hard to say for sure. Like, I have little doubt that they'll probably have Logan Paul maybe cut, like, a promo or something and say, you know, when he's ready to come back and possibly go against whoever has the U.S. title at that point, whether it be LA Knight or whoever. But he's like, excuse me, you didn't beat me because of evidence. And he shows his foot under the rope and LA Knight's like, that's crap. And then they fight.
There was no doubt it was a three. I'm just saying you can argue the point. Brent will make it the point more emphatically tomorrow. I'm not gonna steal his thunder on that one.
He moved his foot under the rope as the three was being counted, and the ref conveniently did not see it. But here's the thing, y'all, that we're not talking about. All the referees had cameras on them. All of them. They were all wearing little ref cams, and they would occasionally cut to the ref cams. And, well, we'll see what the ref cam saw, because if the ref cam saw it and the referee didn't, then they can come back, and then Logan Paul can come back and say the one. But the ref in, I think, the Logan Paul match did have one on.
Not all the matches had them, yeah.
But the Logan Paul one, I think, did, because it was very, because I remember seeing it and I was like, why does he have that thing on his ear? It was very awkward where they put it, too. Like, I get they had to put it there, but it was very awkward.
It was very awkward.
But anyway,
new U.S.
the Logan Paul match had it. Yeah, new U.S. champion, and when they're ready to use this for storyline purposes, they will.
Okay.
Ding.
Nia Jax, Bayley, WWE Women's Championship.
They tried to kill each other.
They did try to kill each other. We got some old school Bayley flair in her gear, the tassels.
Yeah, makeup was fucking on point. It was just on point. Like, shout out to the glam squad that did Bayley's makeup, because it was fantastic.
I thought Bayley held her own against Nia. I thought there was a couple spots where Nia, like, there's the one where she does this, the bonsai drop, the annihilator, and they shot it in a way where you saw her land on her feet and then sit.
Yeah, that wasn't so great.
That wasn't the best one. But I they had new stats for everything and for the entrances on graphics, which I thought was a really nice touch all night. They mentioned that the record between the two was 5-4 in favor of Nia. I was like, huh, that's interesting. I figured they may have tied it up. They did not tie it up, but they did a good job telling the near falls. Bayley fired up when she needed to. Nia looked very dominant when she needed to. And then it almost became Tiffy time. But Tiffy time was more of a distraction than anything else. Tiffany Stratton came down with the briefcase, was looking like she was going to cash in, got stopped by Bayley, and then Nia just turned the switch on and cooked. And just beat the living hell out of Bayley. A couple power bombs, two annihilators, and a championship for the win.
They did a really nice job in the pacing of this match in particular. Both women looked incredibly strong. Like, this is probably one of the best Nia Jax matches I think I've seen in a really long time. They booked her very, very, very well in this match. And she and Bayley did a wonderful job of putting this together. The distraction from Tiffany was a nice touch, because a lot of people, including, you know, all of us here on the network, felt like Tiffany was going to go for the cash in. You had Nia use it to her advantage and, you know, distract Bayley with Tiffany, which allowed Nia to sort of power up and go for Bayley and really just beat the snot out of her to win the title.
Yeah. Yeah. And Bayley's powerbomb was awesome to Nia.
That was fantastic. Yeah. Like, I liked that this was very competitive. I liked that there was a lot of back and forth. They made Bayley look strong. So even though she lost, she's not going to come out of it looking too bad. She can just come right back from this and be like, hey, I want my title back.
They did it in a convincing way, too, where it's like she just didn't get beat by one move. It was like four or five consecutive moves in a row where she just smashed Bayley at the end.
Yeah, it was one of those things where they had a lot of false finishes in this match, which was really good. Normally, I'm not a fan of a ton of false finishes, but with this being so competitive, the fact that they kept having them and that, you know, Nia was having to push and Bayley was having to push harder and harder and harder to do more just to win was really wonderful storytelling in this, where it's, what do I have? Because I think Bayley at one point was like, what do I have to do? What am I going to have to do to beat her? Yeah, like, you could see it in her face that she's like, I've thrown everything I have at this woman and she won't stay down. What do I do?
Yeah, it was two annihilators, Matt, but it was like two power bombs and then two annihilators. It was like she just took move after move after move after move. And like, she got smashed at the very end. And that was like, okay, that was a dominant ending to the, to a good match. And then the queen and her princess strolled away.
With Tiffy keeping her eye on that title the whole time. She kept looking at it.
So, side note before we move to the next match, the semi-blinged out briefcase.
I like it, but I expected it to be more.
I like the strap they gave it.
Yeah, the strap is good. I expected it to have, like, more rhinestones, more just everything, and they could do that. Like, I fully expect somebody to buy one of those and, like, bling it out and customize it. But, yeah, I thought the briefcase would be more. Like, that was the thing. I just expected it to be more. And I guess for price point or for what have you, they didn't do it. Because obviously they've put this up on shop and they're merchandising the hell out of it, as they should.
Which they should. Really quick. Which is interesting, right? It's up on shop. Did you notice what date it's going to be fulfilled at?
Mm-mm, I didn't see that.
December.
Well, they got to get them. They're probably going to make them to order.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So it's like, huh, I have a feeling that means they're keeping the belt on her a little bit longer, the briefcase with her for a bit, because you're not going to buy, you're like, I think that's a hint they're going to be around for a while, the briefcase.
Which, that's completely fine, because with the way that they booked Nia tonight and the way they've been booking her, you can have her be the champion, you can have her hold the title, you can have Tiffy right there. Because the one thing that they're not doing with Nia is having her play the fool. She is well aware that basically the largest threat to her title is standing right by her side. And she's doing the whole you keep your friends close but your enemies closer kind of thing. So she can kind of keep an eye on Tiffany and make sure that, well, Tiffany doesn't do that surprise cash in on her. Even though we all know that's what's going to happen. But Nia's trying to be and is succeeding at being very clever about this in terms of the briefcase. Where instead of worrying about it, she's like, I'm just going to keep it right here in my pocket. And just, you know, have it in case of emergency kind of thing. So I really like how they're doing that with her, as opposed to just having Tiffany out there being a threat. Because again, using Tiffany as the distraction on Bayley to attempt to make it a three-way was really clever and really smart. Because it gave Nia the opening she needed to win. So
indeed.
But yes, in terms of the briefcase, I expected it to be more blingy. I expected it, like, I like the color. The pink's good. But, like, I expected them to do more foil, and maybe it's just I need to see more pictures of it. But the pictures that I saw of it, I was kind of like, oh.
Also having high expectations, you know.
Have you seen Tiffany Stratton?
Oh, I know.
Have you seen her gear?
I know.
That woman is keeping Swarovski crystals in business. Her and the women's gymnastics team from the U.S., they are keeping that company in business. Like, you can't tell me that they can't put a little, like, go to Michael's and get some pink crystals and glue them on there. You can't tell. Like, in terms of customized briefcases, they gave Damian Sandow a whole customized leather-looking briefcase. You can't put crystals on this? Come on. That's all I'm saying.
Anyway, Chad, this is your casual reminder. You can use carry code Rocket Soccer or Lin Zem Warden in the Fortnite item shop because hashtag epic partner. Anyway.
And
go ahead.
Speaking of underwhelming, or should I say unexpected, we had Drew McIntyre taking on CM Punk in a singles match with Seth freaking Rollins as your special guest referee. And as we like to do on this show, it's how slutty will Seth be? And there was bling, there was rhinestones, which I was pleased about, but he didn't go full slut. He was very conservative tonight. He had his little sleeveless ref shirt with the brooch on the neckline, which I thought was very cute. And then he wore pants.
Well, I kinda,
rhinestone pants.
Yeah.
Was anybody else getting like a 2024 version of Freddie Mercury, or is that just me?
I mean, they've been calling him that for a while. He did not wear a shorts. I think we kind of figured that after they introduced the referee cam. It's something they had to attach to something. So it attached to his pants. Which during the match, he ripped out of his ear and the battery pack fell off. And he took it all off. And Brent sent us the note of, oh yeah, he's not, there's no heat on him for taking it off. Yeah, if anyone expected it to be heat on him for taking off the camera, that's just crazy. he's an active wrestler taking this battery pack off that fell off, and it's like, yeah, just take it off. Who cares? It happens. Use the camera in the 15 other matches. They were fine. You just can't use it. It happens. It's new tech. They told great storytelling in this match.
This was, in terms of the match, this is everything you could ever want in a grudge match. This was so good.
Yeah. They've positioned CM Punk as the underdog, which he is at this point. He's a loud mouth, but physically, everyone else is more dominant than him. We saw this in AEW. We're seeing this here, and that's the perfect role for him. He sells really well, where he looks like a beaten down person who fires back up. He takes the beating and keeps on ticking. I thought they told that part of the story well. I thought they told the story of Seth Rollins turning his back when he didn't want something to happen. Like, he got in their face early, reminding him it's Rollins' rules, which they stated many, many times. It's Rollins' rules. Where
Rollins' rules is where apparently anything goes.
Yeah, well, almost anything goes. But he would turn his back, he would look the other way, and they played it up a lot in the match. To the point where, and he was trash-talking the entire time to the wrestler, to both guys. You say you want to beat his ass, beat his ass. You want to just kill him, kill him. You know, he was fair with his counts. They did the Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, Undertaker spot, almost, with the steel chair, because McIntyre got the chair, was going to hit him, and McIntyre told Rollins, turn around, you just let it happen, let me do this. Rollins turned his back, then decided no, almost hit CM Punk with the chair. That was good storytelling. They made reference because CM Punk was wearing Bret Hart gear to tell the story, and they played the part with the bracelet as well. Like, Punk got distracted. The whole story has been McIntyre's been distracted by everything, right? Distracted by Punk and all these things, which is why he lost the title. Punk got distracted by the bracelet. First, when he had the Anaconda Vice on him, he ripped off the bracelet. Then the bracelet fell in the ring. Then it was on Rollins' arm. I thought, and Rollins was like, I just picked it up off the mat. Punk freaked out, GTS'd Rollins, and then,
which was a fantastic moment in the match.
It was. And then Drew McIntyre took advantage, took out CM Punk. Rollins reluctantly made the three count to end the night. I thought they told that well. I thought that was great storytelling in the entire match. Some people online were like, oh, that was flat, and that, you know, it didn't live up to the fight it was. It was storytelling. That was perfect.
They're building something, y'all. Just let Hunter cook. Just let him do his thing, okay?
They gave you a really physical match. Punk, this was the first time Punk has been in the ring one-on-one in WWE in 10 and a half years. But the real story is, this is his first singles match since All In a year ago in Wembley Stadium. In the big moment match. Yeah, he fought Dom on two house shows. But in a real match that means something, it's been a year. This is his first match back since being injured. I thought he worked really well. I thought they told the right story throughout. And in the end, Drew McIntyre got the bracelet back, got the win.
And stood victorious.
Which means they can go back to Punk and Drew, because that's still not over. Because the bracelet's still with Drew. But there's also a problem with Seth and Punk now, too. That continues. Which could be the next match in the series of all this intertwining story. And that's what you want.
What's really nice about this event, before we move on to the next match, and really all the events that have been under Hunter's booking since he took over, is just the continuous flow of story and how certain feuds have just effortlessly gone from one to the next without a lot of interruption, where you're not sitting here going, like, I noticed this, that it's like you and I and Brent and everybody else on the network don't sit here and be like, well, what are they going to do next? Where are they going to go next a lot? It's all right there in front of you, where it's like you have Punk, Seth, and Drew all intertwined with each other. And you can go in any number of those directions with those three. And they set it all up. And, you know, Matt makes a good point tonight. We'll get to it. But, you know, talking about what happened in the world title match with Cody and how they set something up there. And just this really seamless, effortless movement from one story to the next. Like, I really applaud it because it's just effortless. And you're not sitting here scratching your head and wondering and worrying about what they're going to do. They're going to tell you and they're going to show you. And they're just going to make it easy to watch. And I appreciate that. So thank you, Hunter. He doesn't do it on everything, but on the big stories, he has gotten very good. And he has been very good at starting a story, keeping it strong in the middle, and finishing it strong. And it's long-term stories. It's not quick little stories. It's like year-long stories, which are the best.
Indeed.
Gotta love long stories.
I don't know where it fell in the show, but I'm going to mention here because there's two matches left. They did the announcement of the 10,57,700 and something with Miz and R-Truth. And then Austin Theory and Grayson Waller came out and they did their shtick. And then Austin Theory made fun of Jelly Roll and whatnot. And Jelly Roll gets in the ring, smacks him with a chair, and delivers one hell of a choke slam.
Mm-hmm.
That was impressive. That was freaking impressive. Good job of all people involved for that one.
Yeah. It was between the Damian match and the Cody match.
Okay. Speaking of the Damian match, Damian Priest, Gunther, for the World Heavyweight title.
Oh, this was good. This was so good for a variety of reasons.
Two big beefy men slapping meat.
Oh my God. Gunther's chest before the match ever started. Ooh. Oh, he was getting some chops, but then after, like, his chest got opened up. He was bleeding.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, oh, okay. But yeah, this was a really good showing for Damian. This was a really good showing for Gunther. And again, we talk about the effortless storytelling, the fact that you have really moved Gunther away from Imperium almost seamlessly. You didn't even realize that they weren't there and that they haven't been there for a while.
It helps that Ludwig is hurt.
Yes, that does help. But it does, and you know, they got rid of Vinci, but like just the seamlessness of that and how they've just like, you don't even miss it. Like, I just realized that. I was like, oh wait, he doesn't have Imperium with him. It's just him. Which I'm fine with. Like, if that's how you're going to break them up, you do a real soft, real easy breakup, and you just have Ludwig come back, and just Ludwig does his own thing, right?
And then you can reunite them when you need to.
Yeah, and there's no bad blood between them. There's no nothing. It's just Gunther's out here doing his own thing, Ludwig's out here doing his own thing, and Vinci's off doing whatever. Like, you just have them all like that, even though they threw Vinci out. But it's just a very soft breakup that doesn't like lead to a feud right away.
Yeah, it doesn't need to.
But we had another breakup tonight.
Yeah, Ludwig's not serious, but he's been out a few weeks and might be back soon, but he's been out a little bit. Yeah, so after this hard hitting battle between the two, Finn Balor comes out and Finn's doing the encouraging friend routine, slapping the ring. Come on, get back up. There's one point where you mentioned his chest was bleeding. Gunther rubbed it like on his head and stuff. It was
gross.
Gnarly. So he's like, he's banging the thing. Come on. Do the thing. And then Damian hits the impressive razor's edge, and then does the South of Heaven, and then does the one thing you know everyone does, the rollover, and then he pushed him really close to the ropes, which I think was a little too close. But
yeah, that telegraphed a little bit too hard. That's my one complaint about this match, was how very obviously Damian pushed Gunther at the ropes.
Yeah, I think, because if you watch Finn, because Finn comes in and then pulls his foot on the rope, and it's like all the way hanging, so it's like, you know, he was too close. I think he rolled him a little too far, because Finn would have been able to slide in and get it, because he went all the way in to get him. But when that happened, Finn just has this look on his face, like, yep. I just screwed you, buddy. Uh-huh. And he turns his back and just looks deadpan into the camera and just smirks.
And here's my favorite part of this. Damian didn't realize he had done it while he was pinning Gunther. But you have Damian stand up and he turns his back on Finn and he looks up and he watches the goddamn replay in the arena. And they replay Finn grabbing the foot and putting it on the rope. My one complaint about professional wrestling is that you have exactly that. You have moments like that in feuds where it's like something like that happens, and they just ignore the fact that they have screens on every single flat surface they can put one in the arena, and they're showing the shows on the screens. You can see them when they do the wide shots. So it's like, and the wrestlers don't see it, or they act like they don't see it, that it's not there, that it's for the audience only. The fact that you had Damian see it on the replay, thank you. Thank you so much. That was perfect. And then, yeah, Damian turns around and he just locks eyes with Finn. And Damian's like, what the heck did you just do? Like, what did you just do? And Finn is just standing there smirking. It was beautiful. It was so beautiful. It was like, thank you. That was perfect. That was absolutely perfect how they did that. Like, yes. Finally, there is some acknowledgement of that.
So,
and mainly the gripe is with the referee, not the wrestlers, but like the gripe is still the gripe.
So Gunther puts him in the sleeper, tries to make a pass out. He gets out of it, takes down Gunther. He had Gunther down for a count again, and then he ignores going after Gunther and goes to choke Finn Balor. And you just see this look of, I'm going to kill you in his eyes since he got a hold of him. But Gunther pulls him off, puts him back in the power bomb and in the sleeper, and gets the win.
Oh, Damian was livid. He was just absolutely livid. I'm here for the drama. I'm here for the Judgment Day breakup. I'm here for all of this. Give it to me. Just give it to me. Because the way that they did this between Rhea and Damian, oh, there is going to be hell to pay come Monday. There's just going to be so much hell to pay. And what was nice was they didn't focus on Finn and Damian. They gave Gunther the moment.
Yeah.
They're like, we'll get to it eventually, but you know, they gave Gunther the moment. The only thing I laughed at is Gunther is he walks over to his wife and he kisses his wife and she's trying to hug him and he's like, no, don't hug me right now. Like, she goes to hug him and he just walks away. It's like, oh, I'm sure because he's covered in sweat and blood and God knows what else, but it's like, come on, just hug your wife, it's fine, nobody will judge you, it's a big moment. But yeah, The whole setup for this was just perfect, because the one thing we didn't talk about was there was a backstage segment between Finn and Damian before the match where Finn is like, oh, you know, I'm sorry I was a dick. And Damian's like, I'm sorry I was a dick. And they kind of kiss and make up a little bit. And Finn's like, well, if you need me, just let me know. And Damian's like, sure, yeah, I'll let you know. And then that led to Finn coming out and trying to help Damian. In quotations. Yeah. But this was good. This was again, a very satisfactory move in terms of the story.
Indeed. At this moment, before we get to the main event, chat, if you have that Amazon Prime link to your Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming Support Channel by clicking the purple rectangle button at the bottom of the screen. Or if you do a regular sub, a gifted sub, whatever you want to do in the next 16 days, you can earn yourself 3 months of Apple TV Plus. Ding.
Ding. Subscribe. God damn it.
But your main event is now.
We have Cody Rhodes defending against Solo Sikoa in a Bloodline Rules match. That stuff got added, I think, last night. But we had a Pharaoh sighting, which it's Pharaoh's retirement tour. Although I, you know, just as an aside, if they really wanted to, they could totally UGA Pharaoh. They could just UGA him. And just have like Pharaoh 2, Pharaoh 3, Pharaoh 4. You know, I think UGA is up to like a good 20 or whatever.
Yeah.
But you could do it.
Yeah.
You could do it.
I mean, he's still alive. You're not going to, you know, he'll be there. He'll be fine. He's just going to stay.
But they're not going to use. Yeah, he's not going to travel as much, I think.
And Cody has another dog, but he called him a jobber dog, an enhancement dog. So
it's like a little like Pomeranian.
Yeah.
Or something.
So there was a couple things. So he was walking to the ring, doing the whole backstage bit. He gets stopped by Double A Arn Anderson, his second from AEW, longtime WWE employee. Now, I guess, was backstage tonight. Arn gave him some advice. mentioned that his friends, a couple friends that he knows about, are on the way. And when he mentioned the friends, he pointed up. He did give the signal. I don't know if everyone caught it, but he did the one.
He did do the one.
And then he gets his jacket from Brandy's mom. Jason Baker puts the mask on him.
There's a whole team.
There's a whole team. So it was Solo, Cody, WWE Universal WWE Championship. No Uwu. They had a hell of a match.
Oh, wow.
That was just weird.
It lives on in our hearts.
Uwu is dead.
It's not dead. Brent!
So it's Bloodline Rules. So everything didn't count until we got to the Bloodline Rules. So the two members of the Bloodline come out, start beating down Cody. Kevin Owens makes a save. Randy Orton makes a save. They get cleared out. Okay. Fine, but where's Jacob? Jacob finally shows up. He helps beat him down. There's a close three count. Does not happen. And Solo's like, put him through the table. Put him through the table. So he puts him through the table. And this is where hopefully Hunter talks about it here soon. And we have an answer before we get up the air. It looked like Jacob kind of hurt his ankle. Because when he came down off the splash through the table, he immediately grabbed his ankle.
Yeah, he hit his shin or his ankle on the hard like support, the front support of the announce table as it was breaking. And so I'm not sure if he broke it or if he just bruised it really bad, but he was having trouble standing. He couldn't get up. He was holding his ankle and he was yelling at Solo, finish it, do it. So I think they had to like change the finish really quick. Because Jacob was out, he couldn't get up, which was fine because it worked. It was pretty much seamless. But yeah, like you kind of knew this was going to go haywire really quick. We called it on Thursday that this was going to have shenanigans, and sure enough, there were shenanigans of epic levels. What I want to know is why was somebody wearing an eye patch?
Something happened a couple weeks on SmackDown at the S where the eye patch were. I forget what
I'm not
it was.
Against it. I'm just asking.
Yeah. So he almost got the three. Also, whenever Cody goes for the three crossroads, it never works. He stumbles around and never gets the third one off. It's why he lost at WrestleMania the first time. It's happened in big matches. He loses when he tries for it. It just really never works. But Jacob was down. Solo goes for the spike. Doesn't hit it. Cody smashes him with a steel steps a few times. Then hits this massive thing. He did win it with this year, but he also almost lost it. If you think about back in the match, he also went for it once. And that's where Solo came back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Solo gets this, the big spear, gets a big two and nine tenths count. Both men are down. And then the music plays. New music.
Oh, and the audience pops like hell. Like, damn, that was impressive.
Yeah, it was very, very impressive. Roman Reigns walked to the ring the fastest he's walked to the ring in a long time. OTC on the chest. It had a little bit of a different... Now, the music he used, mainly was the same music he had been using. This had a different, little bit of different beat to it. He comes... All right, so nothing serious. He hopes nothing serious with Jacob, is what Hunter just said. Sorry.
Okay.
So Roman comes to the ring, and then the announcer says, but what side is he on? He Superman punches Solo, massive spear to Solo. He leaves, walks out. Cody's stunned, like, okay.
I'm yelling at the TV, pin Solo, you idiot, before Roman turns around and changes his mind.
And then Cody hits the crossroads, gets the win. And still.
This was a good little piece of cinema. This was a great little piece of cinema. This was how you needed to bring Roman back. And the message is very simple. Nobody beats you for that title except me. Like, if you had to hang a loss on Solo, this is how you do it. Because now we're going to get, it seems, the Bloodline Civil War.
Yeah. A slow burn Civil War, because you don't go right to it.
No, you have to build it, because you need to have Roman reconcile really with Jimmy and Jay if you're going to do it. And that will take time, especially with Jay, to bring Jay back into the fold, because obviously we know the history between Roman and Jay. And, well, Roman has a lot of apologizing to do because he was very much a dick. So, you know, Jay's not going to be as willing to come back as possibly Jimmy. although we don't know, because it's, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So Roman could just look at Jay and be like, you want to help me slap your brother around a little bit? And Jay would probably be like, sure.
No.
As long as I get to slap you afterwards.
You're wrong. You're completely wrong. He would not say that.
I'm completely wrong?
He would not say that.
What would he say?
Yeet.
Fair. Completely fair.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's... we're going to build to that because obviously I think the Civil War will be at WrestleMania, so we have plenty of runway to get there.
War games.
I mean, we could do it at War Games. I'm not opposed to doing it at War Games. But either way, we have some runway to get there, so they can build this up really nicely. But this was a good way to, quote-unquote, as we like to say with Cody, finish the story for now with Solo and the Bloodline, and you take Cody out of that equation and you move him on to someone else, and you have Roman and Solo and the Bloodline just sort of fight each other.
Yeah.
And you have that sort of take center stage while you look for the next opponent for Cody and then move on from there. Because I don't know if they have somebody lined up for him or not. I assume they do.
You would hope, but I don't know if they do because it's thin on SmackDown at the moment.
I mean, if they don't, that's not the worst thing, because you can just have Cody walk out and be Mr. America and be the face of the company and just sort of represent and not necessarily have anybody go after him for a hot minute because he's been dealing with the Bloodline. Or you could do Randy. I think they were teasing Randy, so you could do Randy.
Yeah.
Or you couldn't.
You got time on Randy. I would try to find a heel where it doesn't have to be the main event, because you can get Gunther and whoever has the big main event and Bash at the Berlin. And see what happens. Some housekeeping. Blaine was 2-5. WWE 2K24 sub Sheila were 3-4. Me and the Wheel were 4-3. Tommy, Rob, the intern were 5-2. Tim, Lindsay, Casey, and the 8-Ball were 6-1.
Shit. We tied the 8-Ball. God.
8-Ball, I think that's the best the 8-Ball's has done in a long time.
I was going to say, it's been a minute. You got beat by the 8-Ball, dude.
Yeah, but that was a fun show tonight. Really good SummerSlam. Really enjoyable. Stories didn't end here. Stories took a new turn here.
I like that this was predictable, but it was predictable in a good way. You saw the conclusions. You kind of knew how they were going to do it. Or you knew where they were going to go, but you didn't know how they were going to do it. And I like that you can anticipate certain things in the story. Like, surprises are always great, but you need a little bit of predictability, especially when you're going to start turning towards your next major show. So the fact that you did do a lot of those turns tonight was perfectly fine. I thought the show was really well paced. I thought it was well put together. I thought it was well executed. Like, everything they did, at least to me, everything right tonight. I really enjoyed the show. It didn't drag. It didn't feel like we were sitting here for 4 hours. It was really very good how they did it.
And we're done.
And we're done. So you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
We've recapped it. Casey, Tim, and Brent recap it tomorrow night. 10 p.m. Eastern on WTO, Sunday at Russell Talk Radio. Monday nights are all pushed at 11 p.m. Eastern. Thursday nights are back, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll talk about something. Maybe we'll talk about the money. I don't know. We'll see. Friday night, it's GM Battles at 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Saturday night for WTR Game Night around 10 p.m. Eastern, followed by CB Radio Live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. It's at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio, Rack Radio Show, and all social media platforms. Wherever you get the podcast, just search for the Rack Radio Show. Chat, if you have that Amazon Prime link to your Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming. Support John by clicking the purple rectangle button below the screen, or if you want to be a new sub, or you want Apple TV, subscribe for the next 16 days because you get 3 months free of Apple TV Plus by subscribing on Twitch. You can also use credit card Rockersock or
Lin's in Ward.
In the Fortnite, I am Chopper. Epic Game Store.
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lin's Ward, LNSWD. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lin's Ward. You can follow me over on YouTube, youtube.com/@SimpleLin's Ward. And you can follow me on TikTok, Lin's Ward Zero. And while you're liking, subscribing, and following, and doing all the things, you can check out Matt's channel, MVG Films, youtube.com/MVG1211.
go tell him we said hi, like, and subscribe to his content, because he's awesome and amazing and a good friend to the show. So, for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rock right here on WallTalkRadio.com, and we will see you later. Bye! I'm gone with the living on a dead end road. I live and on a dead end road.
WildTalkRadio.com.